You're listening to the Already Cancelled Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
We have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
Let's put a smile on that face.
These allegations are false.
Watch your profanity.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is?
What is up, pumpkin loaves, and welcome to the Already Cancelled Podcast, where we rant about social issues from our Christian perspective and look deep at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My name is John, and I'm joined today by my esteemed co-host, Nathan. How are you, Nathan?
Good. I'm doing well. And how was your day, John?
My day was pretty unproductive, I gotta say. I was working from home, didn't get a ton of stuff done, but that's all right. Just don't tell my boss.
Oh, great. Now you're on tape. What are we going to do?
I know, right? But today we are going to be discussing we're going to be discussing an assortment of topics today, ranging across the spectrum. But today, as we are about a month out, I hope that doesn't date us too much when this episode goes up. As we are nearing midterm elections, we're going to talk about voting and the importance of it. Then we're going to talk about a hot button issue that many people will be voting on. And then we'll be talking about self-censorship. But first, let's get back to voting. Nathan, quick, top five reasons why voting is important. Go.
Top five. Oh, my goodness. Well, one.
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly.
You need to vote because otherwise you end up with
King.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got King Bob right now, and he's doing a fantastic job. But
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
Wrong.
Yeah. All right. Well,
no, top five. I got five.
Okay, let's
go. So one, it can affect policy changes, which, yep, I think is probably the most important thing, is your vote matters because the candidates you vote for affect policy. Two, you are exercising your constitutional duty as a citizen, and you should be educated on who you vote for and why you vote for them, not just to go vote, because that's not part of your duty. Your duty is not to just vote and vote often. Your duty is to understand what you're voting for and why you're voting for or against it. So that's two. Three, it is a right given to American citizens to vote on their officials.
Not only is it a right, it's a duty, I would say.
Yes. And in that, you are exercising something that many people in many countries do not have to the same capacity that we do. Representative government in the form of a republic that we have, or not a democracy, I just that is a huge deal, because you are not only affecting the policy change, you're also affecting your grandchildren's, your children's life, and everyone around you in your state, or city, or county, or even federally. So that's three. I'm starting to strain here a little. Four would be, you really, if you're not going to vote, you can't complain. It's a stupid one, but people that complain about who they're voting for or what the government's doing and you don't vote, shame on you. You're part of the problem.
Yeah. 100%. It's your fault.
You know, it do what's right. Vote for what you truly believe in. And if there's not the perfect candidate out there, vote for the one that's closest to it and maybe get involved in the midterms next time, because guess what? You might actually...
Well, the primaries.
Sorry, yeah, sorry. Primaries. Get involved in the primaries and try to get the candidate you believe in as the best candidate to the ballot. The final ballot.
Maybe the reason everything's turned to crap and it doesn't matter if you vote anymore is because we have gotten politically lazy and are unengaged and uninvolved in the process.
Yeah, look at Missouri's Republican Senate race for 2022 in the primaries. We allowed Eric Greitens, Vicky Hartzler, and Eric Schmidt to be the top three candidates, roughly, because no one took the time or effort to research any of the other candidates, because the media told you those are the three big front runners. And yeah, the establishment Republican Party in the state of Missouri basically didn't push that.
We also had like a dozen and a half to two dozen candidates running for that seat, which was absolutely crazy. But
so
you're right, though. We let the establishment just kind of push that one through.
Yeah, don't just get all excited and only listen to what the media tells you. Get involved. Find out. Okay? So don't complain if you don't vote. So you need to vote. And then number five is there are very few places where you can affect change in this world other than in your personal life and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Unless you believe in the butterfly effect, in which case, man, I'm changing all sorts of things by, you know, moving my head and, you know, sneezing here and, you know, it's going to rain in Brazil tomorrow. Like, whatever.
I think I've never really followed that one, but butterfly.
It's a really stupid, like, idea.
But you have the power to affect change not only by voting, but by being a civically active individual. It does not mean you have to go to your Capitol. It does not mean you have to call your representative or senator, but write them an email, write them a letter, figure out what they're voting on. And so by being an active citizen and voting, you are effectively shaping and transforming the world around you. So I know five was kind of a repeat of all of them, but it is critical, though, that you not just take it and end it voting. Too many people, especially in older generations, have this notion that once you go to the ballot box and you circle in or punch in or however it works for you or digitally press the button, guess what?
You fill in the circle exactly because you're at the ACTs again. You have to fill in the little standardized bubbles.
And you stick your page in the machine and did my part and walk away.
Get your sticker.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget the sticker. The old lady there handing you the stickers. Don't stop there. You, when you do that, you're part of the problem because you're relying on a fallible individual to do the right thing on your behalf, of which you probably have never met.
How can they represent you if they don't hear from you?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you just call them every day and inundate them, but it does mean...
Hey, Joe, so I was thinking today maybe we should, you know, pass some new elections or some new, you know, measures to fix my mailbox, because I think my mailbox is kind of slanted a little bit.
When I interned in our state capitol here, a ton of people would call over issues that were federal issues or were county issues or were city issues. And it's like, we can kind of point you in the right direction, but that does not mean it's what we do here. So just find out, be educated enough where you can kind of go, yeah, Social Security is a federal thing. I mean, things as simple as that, right? You also, the Lord has blessed us to be in this nation as a citizen of this nation.
Absolutely.
And yes, only citizens should vote. On record, I'm saying that.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know. Pretty crazy.
Wow, man, look, check out this racist over here.
Now, it doesn't mean there shouldn't be pathways to citizenship, and there shouldn't be fixes on that, but that's a topic for another episode, because that's an episode and a half. But you are here because the Lord has put you here, and the Lord has blessed you because you have the freedom of speech, you have the freedom of press, you have the freedom of religion, you have the freedom to bear arms. This is the only country in the world where the citizens tell the government in the Constitution what the government can do. Not the government telling the people what freedoms they gift the
people. The government gets its power from the consent of the governed. That's us.
And if we elect politicians that believe that, statesmen, preferably, that believe that, then you can effectively change the federal government and the state government into that mindset. That's going to take decades, folks, if we start now.
Oh, well, Nathan, my vote doesn't matter. And you're right, if that's the mindset that you have. Let's take a look at the recent ballot measure in Kansas that was around pro-life and supporting or banning abortions. Surprisingly, in a fairly conservative state, that failed. They upheld their abortion laws, allowing abortion. And I think some of that was because the opposition did a really good job rallying the votes and getting people out to vote. Every time an election comes around, you will see the left come out in droves, getting people registered, get out the vote. I think that's actually one of the organizations, Get Out the Vote. They love pushing it because they know that it works.
If you can hype up people to fight against something, it's easier than getting people to fight for something.
That's why revolutions take a little bit to get going, but it's a good way to, not that we're recommending a revolution.
No,
it's please. An example.
If people have any idea what that entails, please know. Let's do every possible measure first.
We did that one already here.
Yeah.
We just got to, you know, stick to the...
Well, that's why protests can so easily become a riot.
It's very easy to get people stirred up.
Yes, because the mob mentality is a real thing. So when you're fighting against something, you can all band together behind it. When you're fighting for something, well, are you actually making that change? It's just different dynamic. And that's why if you turn on any news network, whether Republican, conservative, liberal, Democrat, whatever, it's always, well, look at what the other side's doing. Because I can harp on that all day. Well, it never actually helps because you're just ooh, rah, rah against. How about you offer a pathway forward? And if it's really bad, maybe you have to fight against it, right? In that exact thing. But maybe find a path forward. I challenge all the conservative colleagues out there to show a pathway forward for your state or local community. Don't just ooh, rah against.
Let's get some vote. Let's get people out voting and let's get them some actionable points that they can work on. But speaking about fighting against something, Nathan, let's talk about weed.
Smoke weed every day.
So for many states, this has been something that's been on the ballot in the past. For many other states, this is something that you will be voting on soon, if not in the coming election, the legalization of... Maybe it's medical marijuana. Maybe it's recreational marijuana. But
I think it's recreational. Medical is already legal, but at least in the state of Missouri.
We wanted to discuss that topic from a federal or
from a Christian perspective.
From a Christian perspective, looking at how a Christian should view that, how a constitutionalist should view that, and really give our opinions. We can't tell you how to vote. Again, that's up to you to go out and vote. And please do, and please do the research if this is something you feel
don't
passionate
about.
Don't
vote often, at least at the same election.
Vote early, vote often.
Yeah, no, just vote in that election once, please.
But we wanted to discuss, you know, how should a Christian look at the legalization of marijuana? You can have your own viewpoints. We haven't researched marijuana and the benefits versus the negative parts, and should it be legalized, and oh, it's really good for cancer, and yada, yada, yada.
And pain, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Versus, oh, well, there's, you know, marijuana's better for you than alcohol, or it's worse for you than alcohol. It's a gateway drug. Oh, man, it's going to get you into all the other stuff, so that's why we got to be... Maybe, maybe not. But let's break it down and discuss what we actually think, and should it be... something that the federal should, you know, discuss, because we just had President Biden, who last week wanted to pardon all criminals within the federal prison system.
In Washington, D.C.
Who were imprisoned for simple marijuana possession.
He would wipe their record if they had a record on it and or get them out of prison.
That would free exactly zero people. You're not in prison in the federal prison system for simple drug possession. Most of those people have other outstanding charges, aggravated assault, deadly weapon, yada, yada, this, whatever. So his political showboating aside.
And maybe in D.C. some will be released just because that's a municipality.
Sure, maybe.
Federal. It's a federally run area.
But it's showboating. It's them putting up a front. Showboating's not the right word. But it's them putting
it's
up
posturing.
There we go. It's posturing. Oh, look how good we are. We're, We're virtue signaling. We're
trying to distract from the abysmal state the country is in.
It's awful.
I mean, it could be worse. I'm not going to say it's not going.
It could be worse. He'd really have to be trying to make it any worse.
And by George, he might be. But plain and simple, they're doing everything they can to distract from what's happening, because what's happening is not going to win them the midterms.
And now we're getting distracted. We do need to remember.
Smoke weed every day.
Which I've never done.
How dare you?
Yeah.
From the Christian perspective, Nathan, should we legalize marijuana? Should Christians partake in it? That's an entirely different subject, I think. Actually, let me start with an easy slow pitch over the plate. Is it an issue that that should be federally mandated from, on a national scale?
Meaning the ban of it or the legalization?
Yes, the ban or legalization. Is it a federal issue?
The ban should be eliminated, which would thus make it legal. But it shouldn't be designated as legal by the federal government, because it's constitutionally not within the purview of the rights the federal government has to exercise over the states.
I believe we discussed this sort of thing in a previous episode as well.
It should be controlled if sold between states, because then that's interstate commerce, which is within the purview of the federal government. And there are laws in place for hazardous chemicals and radioactive materials. And maybe there is some sort of special transportation rules that need to be in place for something like that. Maybe it's explosive in high quantities, the powder slammable. I mean, who knows, right? So, you want to make sure the truck drivers aren't high, so you cannot be on drugs while driving federally licensed vehicles, meaning, you have your Department of Transportation, DOT license to transport goods between state lines. I mean, there's some things in place, but yeah, that's okay. That's acceptable. But from a standpoint of the common usage of it, it should not be within the federal government's purview.
No, that should go to the states.
Yes. And the states can individually vote on it, or they can pass bills on it.
We've seen states do that already. Colorado is high as a kite.
Colorado was one of the first, if not the first. And there should be really detailed investigations into what it has done to the state of Colorado. Good and bad. And what are the good and bad side effects? And that's what should be advertised to people prior to going to the polls, because they are kind of the test dummy. And some states have joined them in that. But it shouldn't just be this social movement of, oorah, it should be legal. Maybe there's a safe quantity level. Maybe there's something that should be regulated by the state, because it could be a gateway drug or something like that. But don't. Unfortunately, it's become just a social movement.
Yeah. Now, here's where I started my line of thinking along this. As a Christian, should we legalize it? Well, I looked at it. Okay, we've got alcohol is legalized.
Jesus made wine.
Marijuana is also a plant that was created.
I mean, we've since enhanced it.
We've synthesized and done other stuff, but hemp. There's...
Hey, you smoke hemp, it's like smoking cardboard, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah.
If you get high off cardboard, let me know, because I've never had that happen.
That's a lot of cardboard, man. No, but so there are good reasons to legalize alcohol. There are good reasons to ban the use of alcohol. There are good reasons to legalize marijuana. There are good reasons to ban marijuana. And so, as we discussed in our last episode, the issue does not come down to the product, to alcohol, to marijuana. Cigarettes, okay, we can throw that one to the side, because there really isn't any real redeeming value to cigarettes. We're not discussing cigarettes. I don't know why I brought it up. The issue is the human usage and the way that we have this innate ability to mess things up. It's not that alcohol is bad. It's overconsumption and what that does to you that is bad.
Gluttony.
gluttony
of an item.
It inhibits your rational thinking. It causes you to do stupid things. It causes you, when driving, to lose control. It causes some people to become abusive. So when used to excess, alcohol is bad. Marijuana can be good for some people, for pains, for aches, for helping, you know, if you're on cancer medication, and it can help in some ways. I don't know. I don't know all the benefits that it does. But it can also be bad.
I'm not opposed to there being genuine research study and control groups in a medical setting to determine whether or not it does have medically viable solutions to some problems. Because realistically, it is more natural than these synthetic drugs. And if we can cut that out and keep it and be a controlled substance from a medical standpoint, because it can be addictive, then it is probably better for you than opioids and synthetic drugs. The problem is it's not as much of a moneymaker, so that's a whole other issue. But I'm not opposed to that.
They've also spiced up marijuana a whole lot since the 60s. And the marijuana that our parents were smoking back then is not the same that they're smoking on the streets today. Like, it's some jacked up stuff.
No, there could be milder versions of it, sure, and things
not,
like that.
It's not all bad. I mean, there's every version of marijuana. Like, there's versions of chewing gum.
Like, oh, that's like a, like, they consider e-cigarette flavors. But, you know.
You can find whatever, you know, type of chewing gum you want. Like, you can get weed gummies.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
So, realistically, from a Christian perspective, John, do you think it's okay to partake in? That's a challenging question.
It's a challenging question, but also not so much. Paul tells us to be sober-minded. Is marijuana helping you be sober-minded? That's a question you can answer. Is it enhancing your walk with Christ? Maybe some people are going to say, oh, man, this weed, it's making me, I feel closer to God, man. Okay.
I can feel heaven.
I'm not so sure on that one, but I'm going to go with no. I'm gonna put a no with a question mark next to that. The same I would say about alcohol. Is alcohol... Let me back up. Being sober-minded. As you said already, Jesus created wine. That was his first miracle, was turning water into wine. Clearly, he doesn't have a problem with it.
It's for mom, but yeah.
It's from, yeah, mom was asking. Mary was a bit of a booze hound, okay? I mean...
Wrong.
Paul even tells, is it Timothy or Titus? I think it's Timothy, yeah. You know, have some wine for your stomach. There are benefits to it. But, again... within reason, sober-minded.
In a social setting, having a glass of wine, if it doesn't make you lose control of your bodily functions in a sense of, you know, becoming inebriated.
I can't feel my legs.
Right, exactly. It's not a bad thing. You know, it's okay, but don't, anything in excess, right?
But also, let's keep in mind with that, and with both of these, if it will become a stumbling block to your weaker brother, if your going to the bar is going to hinder someone else's salvation, not their salvation, because we can't influence someone's salvation, but it is going to influence your witness, or is going to cause them to question whether it's your salvation, or give them
or question your legitimacy and the message you're trying to proclaim in salvation.
And this is an entire, this is another episode entirely if we want to go down that path. While it is allowed, maybe you choose not to partake in that situation. Maybe you just, you drink some wine at home by yourself.
And that can be for anything.
Yeah.
But from a standpoint of weed, I think because it is inherently there and normally to put you in a higher state, cloud your mind type thing.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, it's not right for Christians to partake in. Now, if it's an ointment or a lotion that eases pain but doesn't send you high as a kite, oh, okay, all right, we can start talking about that. Maybe there's a medical way it can be administered without it sending you into a period of being high.
But
okay,
as it's being voted on, we're not discussing medical marijuana anymore. This is just recreational. This is, hey, I want to go have fun. This is for the purpose of getting high. And so for that case, in that instance, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think, unfortunately, due to the social pressures of our society today and the lack of clarity, we're going to see it pass. But
unfortunately, I agree with you. I'm not sure that, again, if our vote will make a difference, but we're going to vote anyway. And it will. If we come out as a group and we unite, if
it could be determined by one vote. Goodness. I mean, you never really know until they count them.
And so going back to that idea of voting, I think the mindset of, oh, well, it's not going to matter, I'm not going to go vote anyway, that, Nathan, is a form of self-censorship.
Yeah, it legitimately is. I mean, when you are proclaiming that it just doesn't matter anyway, you're censoring your freedom of speech because you're not allowing your opinions to be heard at the ballot box.
I think there's a lot of other forms of self-censorship. Sometimes it's good to censor yourself. We all need a little filter for our mouths.
Think before you speak kind of thing.
Quite often, and I think very much in the conservative circles, we will stop ourselves from saying something because, oh, well, it won't matter, or nobody's going to hear, or nobody's going to care. And so we silence our own voices because it's going to fall on deaf ears. Now, there is some wisdom to not casting pearls before swine, but how often are we doing this even when sharing the gospel? Oh, well, this person's not going to care, so I'm not going to tell them about, you know, Jesus, because
I don't want to lose the friendship or something or whatever it is.
So self-censorship is a problem that I think many conservatives, I think myself even, I would say, struggle with at times. And so this is, again, tying this all back together with voting. This is
smoke weed every day and self-censorship. Don't allow yourself to be censored. Don't allow your vote not to matter. Think critically on the issues, of which marijuana is one of them, coming up for the ballot here in Missouri, or could be coming up for your state,
or
is an issue,
or one of the other many issues that I'm sure you'll be voting on. Go out, check your local, whatever county you live in. Go check what they're saying. Get a sample ballot. Read everything that's on there. There's going to be amendments that they're not telling you about.
And what's on the ballot is just in pure and simple a summary of the greater document that you are voting to put into place.
Yes.
So go find that original document and on the state's website and research it, read it. Find out really what's in it, because sometimes the summary can be misleading, or maybe it just doesn't have room enough to print it all. So do your due diligence. You are a citizen of this great country. If you want to keep it great, you're going to have to work at it. We've gotten very lazy as Americans, myself included.
How dare you?
Exactly. And then we turn around and gripe about the state we're in. Much of that is outside of our control. But what is within our control, we should do our best to enact what we believe on those issues.
We all wield a certain sphere of influence. And by self-censoring, you are crushing that influence that you have, whether it's within your family, whether it's within your church, whether it's people you have no idea look up to you. By not standing up, by not speaking the truth in love, you are robbing people of that influence that you have, robbing people of the truth.
It doesn't mean you go and force whatever your idea is down someone's throat and just say, accept this as truth. Yeah. Just don't, bad idea, okay? It's another thing to do this in love. And that's what the Bible commands us to do, is to do all that we do in love. Now, it may be a discussion where you are going back and forth on it, but not an argument. It should not become a fight. It should be a, let's have a critical thinking discussion here on a particular issue.
Sometimes you're going to have to offend someone with the truth. Whether it's, hey, Nathan, you're getting kind of fat. Let's have a discussion about what needs to be done.
Time to go to the gym.
To make sure that you're healthy for your wife and for your future kids.
There like, are hard...
Sometimes that's a hard discussion that we don't actually need to have that. Nathan's looking trim.
I do have a little bit of tubbiness, but it's not like insane. It's called, I'm a desk jockey, so it's a little bit there. But I didn't eat lunch today, so we're good. I had some pumpkin seeds. Woo! No. That's not the way you should handle it. No,
but my point being, sometimes there are hard conversations that may offend someone, but are of vital importance.
The delivery of those discussions and how we display our beliefs will change how they are received. Will reflect on how they are received. You have to be able to portray your beliefs and your sphere of influence without self-censoring in a way that shows love and kindness. You come alongside them. You help them with this. You challenge them to do their own research so you're not just the authority figure on the issue, because that shows humble. You're being humble about it. And that will go leaps and bounds when you're talking to people. People don't want to be talked to. They want to be...
conversed with.
Yes, because they care about what they have to say too. And maybe what they have to say might challenge you. So I encourage you, vote, encourage others to vote, and encourage others to become involved.
And of course,
smoke weed every day.
No, don't actually do that.
You might lose your job.
That's a really bad suggestion. We don't recommend that. But we do recommend, again, like Nathan said, voting, having some tough conversations if you need to, speaking the truth. Again, self-censorship's not just conversations you need to have with people. It's what needs to be said. And sometimes we just don't say it enough.
Within the confines of where you should say it, doesn't mean you go in your workplace and you start just preaching politics.
Correct.
There's a time and place. And know that as well.
But also know that when you speak the truth, when you share Christ, when you represent Christ, that you will be persecuted, you will be censored, you will be canceled. You may even be hated. You may lose your job. Yada, yada. It goes on. There's plenty of lists in the Bible of what may happen and what hopefully will happen.
If you do the right thing as Christ would have done it, that is the hard part, then you shall be blessed, the Lord says this, if you follow him.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, don't do it without the Lord on your side and you're doing the right thing, okay? Don't use the name of the Lord in what you're doing. Well, I'm doing this for the Lord. Be careful, you know, but... if you are doing the right thing, you will be persecuted for it. But do it unashamedly.
Don't self-censor.
Do it with love. Because if you do it full of hate and divisiveness, your message will fall on deaf ears.
It will.
I have seen this with so many groups that have popped up full of beliefs. If you do it out of hate or out of...
Pride,
yeah, good one. You will not be heard.
If you're trying to be the smartest person in the room or prove that you're right, it's not going to go anywhere. Nobody likes that.
If people ask you to prove what you believe in, be ready to come to it with a defense.
Always be ready to give an account for the hope that you have within you.
Now, I think that's more in relation to the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ in that specific context, but the idea still stands true.
But with all that being said, we just want to remind you, encourage you, hopefully lift you up a little bit, that you may be canceled like this podcast, but that doesn't mean that your voice has no meaning anymore. Get out there. Go vote. Go spread the love and the truth that the world needs, because deep down, we have something inside of us that they dearly need. And that is the hope that comes from salvation in Christ alone.
Because we will not be saved by politicians or by weed or by us not sharing the gospel. We will only, or sharing the politically your beliefs. You will ultimately, salvation is what will get you freedom from this world and all of the insaneness about it. But always stand up for what's right in everything you do and everything you vote for.
And subscribe to the Already Canceled Podcast.
Don't forget.
Leave us a message. Hit us up on social media. And don't forget to listen to us next time.
On the Already Canceled Podcast, on wherever podcasts stream.
Fellas, you have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
I can't believe you've done this.
Thank you for your patronage.
I'll be back.
Oh, that's hot.
Not a single thing he said is accurate.
Bye!